Nick Brown, president of Climate Energy Environment Group based in Fayetteville, is facilitating the U.S. Mayor's Climate Protection Initiative in Arkansas.
The cities of Fayetteville and North Little Rock have completed greenhouse gas emissions inventories for their municipal operations. So those are surveys of energy used for city fleets and for building use for all the operations directly related to city business. Eureka Springs is the first city in the state of Arkansas to complete an inventory that is a community inventory of greenhouse gases, which attempts to summarize and add all of the emissions that are related to all activities within the city limits. So that's transportation, building energy, other smaller uses like paper emissions from decomposing paper, from municipal solid waste, from fertilizers and refrigerants, all kinds of things.
Eureka Springs, under former Mayor Dana Joy, contracted with Brown's firm with a grant from the U.S. Department of Energy and the Arkansas Energy Office.
That's correct. The state of Arkansas, or the Energy Office, sponsors two series of energy efficiency community block grants, one for the larger cities and one for smaller cities. Eureka Springs was eligible to apply for and successful in obtaining an energy efficiency block grant under the Small Cities Program.
Inventory data indicates that Eureka Springs produces greenhouse gas emissions at a rate on par with the national average.
Each person in Eureka Springs, on average, the per capita average of emissions was about 19.5 tons per person per year. When I say tons, that's tons of CO2 equivalent. That's the commonly used metric. And the national average is about 20 tons. So we're very close to average on emissions from a community standpoint. That's including all emissions that come from the city. If you just look at the city itself, municipal operations, we emitted about 2 tons per person to keep the city's municipal operations going.
The global average is just less than 5 tons per person per year. Eureka Springs is a tourist economy where some visitors park and ride petrol-fueled trolleys, but most drive their own cars through town.
We had to do some modeling because, of course, it's impossible to understand precisely how many tourists there are, exactly how many miles they drive. And, in fact, it's sometimes as difficult to determine exactly how many hotel nights have been accrued from the tourism industry. So we looked at other cities. The city of Boulder, Colorado, has done a similar study. Several other cities in Utah, the ski resorts largely, have some experience and have done some modeling and have taken some data. We figured that tourists account for about one-third of all ground travel or vehicle miles traveled in the city of Eureka Springs.
The inventory also accounted for community workers driving into town from outlying areas, part of the commercial sector. But over the past decade, the number of motorcycle riders traveling to Eureka Springs has surged to extraordinary levels. And although more fuel efficient than cars, motorcycles emit less carbon dioxide. Studies indicate they produce a lot more hydrocarbon and carbon monoxide-based smog.
There are a lot of motorcycles in and out of Eureka Springs throughout most of the fair weather months of the year. In terms of greenhouse gas emissions, there are somewhere in the range of 4 or 5 times more efficient than a car. They do, in fact, emit lots more particulates, nitrous oxides, and other kinds of toxins into the air. So we really couldn't isolate the overall environmental effect. It's probably fair to say that very intensive and concentrated motorcycle traffic is detrimental to the overall environmental impact. that, but we can't really capture that in a greenhouse gas inventory. So the greenhouse gas inventory itself is unable to capture some environmental factors that we know are important to the city.
Inventory findings were delivered via public hearing August 25th in Eureka.
About 17 or 18 citizens from Eureka Springs attended the hearing last Tuesday. We had a two-hour discussion, which I thought was really terrific. It was a lengthy discussion, and the people of Eureka Springs seemed to really be engaged in the issue. The hearing had two purposes. One was to review the results of the greenhouse gas inventory. The second was to begin thinking about what kind of climate action plan we would develop to address our emissions and what kind of strategies we would come up with to begin moving toward reduced emissions and eventually toward climate neutrality, that is, a situation in which we would reduce, eliminate, and offset all greenhouse gas emissions.
An informal Eureka Springs climate group will meet over the next 2 months. A draft climate change action plan will be presented to the citizens of Eureka Springs likely by the end of October.
It at this point is voluntary, and it's up to the citizens of Eureka Springs to determine if the climate action plan that we are beginning to put together will simply be a report from consultants, whether it should be a report that the citizens or a citizens committee brings to the City Council. The City Council will have the option to adopt and approve a climate action plan or simply leave it as a suite of recommendations. So there are several different kinds of, several levels at which the people of Eureka Springs might institutionalize the results of our report.
And if institutionalized, Eureka's climate action plan will become part of a statewide initiative under the Governor's Commission on Global Warming. Its final report, issued October 2008, recommended adoption of 54 policies, including a renewable energy portfolio standard, implementing a carbon tax, and enhancing energy efficiency. And Eureka will also join other cities like Albuquerque, New Mexico, Cincinnati, Ohio, Houston, Texas, Chicago, Illinois, and Honolulu, Hawaii, together working at the local level to mitigate looming hazards associated with climate change. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Jacqueline Froelich.